Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Wednesday. It is the 19th of November, and it's very nice to have you with us on a very cold Wednesday.
We could be in Buffalo.
Right.
You stole my line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At least we're not in Buffalo.
Yeah, but it's not cold there. It's just snowy.
It's just impacted
it's
with
serious.
Snow.
You know, four, it people is. Die, four people died.
Right.
Really? Oh.
Right. One in a car and three from heart attacks.
Oh.
That's a lot of snow to move.
It is.
4 to 6 feet, that's a lot of snow.
And I've seen pictures of people who they open up their front door, and there's a wall of snow with the indentations from the decorative parts of their door, you know? And so you can tell, and there was another picture on Facebook of some of the snow just smashing in the front door.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If you live in Buffalo, you got to expect it. I mean, get a house in Florida or come to Albany. Or come to Balmy Albany.
So wait a second, Rosemary. Am I hearing you correctly that basically, you know, we can't feel sorry for these people because they have chosen to live in Buffalo.
My sister lived for Buffalo for years and loves it. But, yeah, I mean, you expect if you live in Buffalo, man, you're going to get whacked with snow.
That doesn't sound like I put words in her mouth. That sounds exactly like what you said.
I'm blaming the snow to
the snow.
That's it. I'm blaming the snow victims.
Yeah, you're blaming the victims, the snow victims. I was there for the blizzard of 77.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I was in college.
That was an Alka-Seltzer commercial.
Oh, my God. They closed the school for 5 days. We had a blast.
How did you eat?
They dropped in food.
No.
Did airdrops.
No.
Yes, they did.
By helicopter? Or
yeah, by something. They got food in. Anybody, whether you were on food service or not, could eat. I took my watch off for 5 days. You can only imagine how happy I was those 5 days. And people were downtown walking where they thought they were walking on the street. They were walking on top of cars. And they didn't realize it.
Whoa.
It was incredible.
All right. So let me introduce the panel to you.
don't know who we are.
Oh, sorry.
Not yet.
We got Al Roker here.
The radio identifiers have not been given yet. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Political consultant Libby Post joins us. And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, all. A reminder, you can join us, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also post your comment on our website. It is WAMC.org/roundtable. If you do so, everyone will be able to see it. That means Rosemary. That means Libby. That means the entire world. Your cousin in Peoria. WAMC.org/roundtable. And people can comment from there. So, now we move on to what is happening in the world and items that we want to chat about. So let us begin with, the pipeline. Let us talk about the pipeline. This was a good one. So this is Senate Democrats, by a single vote, stopped legislation that would have approved construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, one of the most fractious and expensive battles of the Obama presidency. The vote represented a victory for the environmental movement, but the fight had taken on larger dimensions as a proxy war between Republicans who argued that the project was vital for job creation and President Obama, who had delayed a decision on building it. Meanwhile, you have Mitch McConnell coming out and saying, well, just when the Republicans get in, let's just see when we bring this up for a vote what happens next.
Well, so, I don't get it. I don't get it. We know from the Congressional Budget Office and others that it would be a couple of thousand jobs temporarily building the thing. And then after that, 50 jobs, maintaining it. We know that the possibility of the thing rupturing at some point, or even worse, somebody doing something bad, is there. We know that every time you get a railroad car filled with oil, something happens. Not every time, but the potential is always there, and it has happened again and again. So I don't get why the Republicans. Oh yes, I do. Are for it. It's all about money. And the stuff is not going to stay in the United States. It's going abroad. Right. That's the whole point.
It's now, all those toxic cleanup jobs they're thinking about.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
about
the
those.
Men in
Maybe
white
you're
suits.
Right.
Yeah,
sure,
environmental cleanup.
The tar sands, it's really bad for the environment. It's bad
ridiculous.
For climate change.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm angry at the Democrats who sided with the Republicans in support of Mary Landrieu. Like,
she wanted
a yes on this. It would help her election problems. Why do we want her?
By the way, that's
representing the gas and oil industries and not Americans.
Well, it's not the we. It's the people down there.
Who are supposed to represent we.
Which, by the way.
That she needs to represent her constituents, and oil. The oil industry is a big industry and a big employer in Louisiana.
And there's the fault with Congress right there. It is set up so that to do your job right, you are protecting little small pieces of the population and not... You know, and not all of us.
She's Rosemary at WAMC.
That's what's called representative democracy. That's why people
I don't
get
like
elected.
It. I don't think it's working.
Well, there's another way to look at it. That's one way to do it. The
Joe
other way
squeaking.
To do it is, you know, a proportional representation so that you don't have single member districts being represented. And by the way, just one last thing about the Republicans. They're now saying, okay, but in a few months, we'll be in charge, and we'll have that one vote which we missed by, and we'll vote for it. And one last thing, and that is that the congressman who is sponsoring the bill in the lower house is her opponent in the senatorial election.
Yeah, they're fighting over who gets their name on it. It's just unseemly. And, okay, here's one more thing about representational democracy. Yes, she's representing Louisiana, so she votes for it. Why is Barbara Boxer vote? Actually, I think
She voted against it.
Yeah, she changed her mind. But why are people in New York or Illinois or any of the places that that pipeline is going to cross and endanger, why are they voting with her out of friendship?
Surely you understand the role of money in American politics. These are the big boys. These are the high rollers, the big players. And you want their money. You want it for your campaign. And, you know, it's just nothing more than, what do you call that? A farmer's market.
Greasing
Except
one's
instead
palm.
Of lettuce.
But hasn't the president said it's not going to happen?
No, the president said he'll veto it.
Right.
Yeah. But
now he'll veto it. I think he's going to fold on this one. He's made it really,
really?
Clear. Yeah. I think he's going to use this as a bargaining chip.
Right. He's going to bargain
for something
else.
Because he doesn't care that much about it. He'll give them this. You can have your pipeline if you give me and then fill in the blank because there's a lot of things he wants.
I mean, it was almost ready to get approved by Hillary as Secretary of State a couple of years ago. And then the environmentalists.
Got
a hold of it and made it into a political issue.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think the handwriting is on the wall that in America the golden rule is those who have the gold rule
keep it.
And they know how to do it. And now for the next couple of years it's gonna really be something.
It is.
I want to go back to Rosemary's point though. Doesn't Mary Landrieu come out as wearing a black hat in this?
Why?
No, not for her people, not for her constituents. She's fighting for their jobs. She's fighting for more jobs.
Well, look, she didn't win.
I know she didn't win. But
and she's
going
to lose, by the way. She'll lose.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. But at least she has something to
fight
about.
No big loss is what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, the Landrieu family, as you know, is huge in Louisiana. And the brother, isn't the brother the mayor?
Yeah, of New Orleans.
New Orleans, as
right.
we say.
He was really instrumental in the Katrina.
Yeah.
After Ray Nagin just couldn't do
anything.
Screwed
it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's now in prison.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Okay. Just wanted to point that out.
One more little point about fabulous Louisiana politics.
Where are they now?
It's the
segment
the
of our
land
program.
Of Huey Long, so.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and talk about other items on our agenda. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from SUNY Ulster, offering the Fast Finish Entrepreneurship Certificate to help build skills with business plans, QuickBooks, and more. Online or on campus in as little as 6 months, sunyulster.edu/entrepreneur. Rhinebeck Artishops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. And Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable.
Who's wrong?
Just taking stock. Roundtable, WAMC.org, also WAMC.org. I was just trying, what was your, maybe this was for off air, I don't know, but what was the ventriloquist thing?
No, you said before I was putting words into her mouth.
Oh,
and I
said,
I want to practice my ventriloquist
skills. I see.
Skills.
Okay, I missed that entirely.
That makes me the dummy, Ellen. I resent that.
You know what? You are anything but a dummy.
No comments.
I just meant that you were, because you were saying, my understanding of Rosemary's point was yes, we were talking about representative government, but you were made the quote unquote crack about Mary Landro of, you know, do the Democrats really want her? I think was the point you were making.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all. All right. So do we have letters,
Alan?
Yes. Panel. No one has mentioned what the cost of protecting the KXL pipeline from terrorists will be. Where's the military on this? Canada sells the oil. China gets the oil. The Koch brothers get richer. And the American taxpayer foots the bill, and that's from Gary. And then Rich, the president will use his veto stronger than ever. He will not fold. There's a pipeline battle going on in New Jersey. Pilgrim Pipeline. And that's from Rich.
Well, I'll bet you on that, Rich. He's the one I think is wrong. I think the president will not be. He would veto it right now, but eventually watch Obama give up on.
Can I hold the money?
I see too. Sure.
For the bet, you know.
Sure.
Right, right. I bet Roselle a lot now these days. We bet $1,000.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we bet $1,000.
We have a joke. $1,000 goes back and forth and back and forth.
Not
on paper.
Really.
No, Roselle
not
racking it up
on paper.
Not really, because we have a joint bank account.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I thought you had another water there on. Yes, am I wrong?
No, I got
from James.
From James? No, not on my list. Why don't you read what you have?
Okay, I'm very upset with Mary Landru. It sounds more and more like that she is only pushing this death pipe just to get elected and not do what's right. Yesterday's alternative radio program with Naomi Klein was great to show how my generation's future life and right to pursue happiness is quickly becoming bleaker because of greed and corporations in government.
What a thought. That she is getting, what a thought. It's revolutionary, and I want to congratulate her on it. Pardon me, choking on my own bile here. No, she makes a very good point. It's disgusting that somebody would try to use her office to get reelected as opposed to doing what's right. And it's really what's wrong with American politics. Well, I mean, it is what's wrong with American politics.
True.
I said of a senior governmental official in New York State to one of his employees, I said, doesn't this guy ever do what's right as opposed to what's political?
Two rules for elected officials. Get elected, get reelected.
Stay elected.
Right. So
right.
That's it.
Did you ever hear that in any class you took with me? Yeah, probably.
Yes, I did, probably. Also did. From the great Shirley Gordon from Family Planning Advocates.
Oh, she was a lovely woman.
She's
wonderful
great.
Woman.
She's terrific. And she taught me that one, but you taught me many, 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 many other things.
You know how soon they forget.
And
you must have taught Shirley that. And then.
just a quick, he had referenced Naomi Klein in that letter, and Naomi Klein will be on our program at 10 o'clock. So we'll talk about all those issues. So,
good.
We have one more letter there, Alan, from...
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to give this to you, as I do every once in a while, because... Oh, yeah. Wait a second.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Wait, what? You're saying that Mary Landrieu's constituents have no interest in avoiding events linked to climate change like Hurricane Katrina, and they have no interest in avoiding disasters caused by fossil fuel corporate malfeasance such as BP oil? Where do you think her constituents, and this is in capital letters, this is the key word, where do you think her constituents live?
Yeah, no one said that.
That's the whole problem, though, is that
ventriloquism.
You have to decide between your immediate job and the future of your environment and what your kids deal with. And that's a hard choice to make. So I don't blame the people of Louisiana. I blame our Congress and the system that we have that we're supporting her for reasons that are not helping either their own the constituents outside of Louisiana or us as a whole.
The system being the problem, right?
The other thing is that I read is that, you know, we're not as we're not going to be so dependent on what this pipeline is going to be bringing down from Canada.
Right.
So why should we be doing this since we're not that dependent on that? The tar sands and all that.
It really does have to do with the oligarchy.
Yeah, I know it does. Not to worry.
That's
I know
all this is.
All of this is money.
And the people with the money who give the money to the campaigns, here you see it once again. Do we want their money or can I run and win without their money? That's what this is all about.
Yes. Oh, I know. No altruism, no jobs, no nothing. It's about lining people's pockets.
But here's the key question, as I raise it with everybody. All the time. If you put a lie detector cuff on their arms after they've done the greedy wrong thing and say, have you done this for the right reasons? Superman, the American flag, keeping the people well. And they said, yes. Would you get a flat line? No, would you get a flat? This is where it really gets dangerous. Would you get a flat line, meaning that they're telling the truth, or would you get a wavy line, meaning that they are liars of the first order? You would get ready for this, a flat line.
Right, because
and
they
that
really
is,
do believe it.
That is what is so disturbing about all of it.
Yeah,
the ability to ability to justify anything in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll let you put new things into your head and share them with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Also go to WAMC.org/roundtable and you can post your comments. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to have a news break. We'll be back with more information and more discussion on issues of the day. You're listening to the Roundtable panel on WAMC. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And let me just introduce those who are here to share their knowledge with us. We have Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also post your comment at WAMC.org/roundtable. We have many letters. We'll get to those, and then we'll move on to other topics.
Oh, we're going first to the thingies. Okay,
the thingies,
the letters.
Yeah, the letters.
Are you good on those?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. I realize this is my second comment today, which we don't usually do, but I think it's a good letter. But I believe this is important. What if we selected our representatives by a lottery? As a minor proposal here, as opposed to an election, similar to jury duty, we'd end up with a representative cross section of our population who could then vote with their hearts and brains, as opposed to whether or not they're reelected. A sample vote such as this: should we find homes for the 1 in 30 American children who are homeless and fund another war? Simple, huh? And that was from Gary. Kathleen says the fact that oil companies are investing in tar sands oil, given its very low return on investment, says we're closer to the end of oil than anyone wants to admit. The low-hanging fruit is gone, and what's left is poorer in quality, harder to extract, and creates a bigger carbon footprint. And that's from Kathleen. And then from someone, Andrew, each hour Louisiana loses about a football field's worth of land. Each day, the state loses nearly the accumulated acreage of every football stadium in the NFL. That's in quotes. More, were this rate of land loss applied to New York, Central Park would disappear in a month. Manhattan would vanish within a year and a half. The last of Brooklyn would dissolve 4 years later. New Yorkers would notice this kind of land loss. The world would notice this kind of land loss. But the hemorrhaging of Louisiana coastal wetlands has gone largely unremarked upon beyond state borders. This land is your land, Mary Landry. Yes. And Julius says, suppose, like the lie detector, a, quote, stubbornness detector was available. If the same politician who flatlined on the lie detector when asked if they did the right thing would probably go off the scale on the stubbornness detector when asked if they would consider any information that could result in changing their minds on a subject. And let's see here. And Corey says, respect for private property and the people's rejection of the principle of eminent domain would halt this pipeline in its tracks. How else could a corporation build such a monstrous pipeline but without the government seizing and redistributing of private property to the corporation through the use of force? Well, that would take a long time to answer, but usually when we have eminent domain, it's the government operating for the major interests, right, and screwing somebody in the process. Al, thanks for using the word oligarchy. Sad but very true. Love your polygraph analogy. Very profound. Also sad but true. Thanks for giving We the People a forum for intelligent discourse. And Don says, follow the money. Oil prices are way down in the U.S. Do we need more oil? We should not be encouraging additional use of fossil fuels. Follow the money. Yes, Don, but the problem is the oil isn't for us. The oil's going to China and these other places. It's going to be offloaded. That's why it's going down to the Gulf.
Right.
And they're
going
to put
ships.
It. And they're going to ship it. That's it. We did that already. No, that's not right. I think that's it.
No, Joe. What you?
Oh, here.
Right. What came online?
Oh, this came online. Okay. Polls from across the political spectrum, Washington Post, Rasmussen, Huffington, Pew, show overwhelming support among the American public for the Keystone XL. Simple Google will find these. Seems that people want that. The panel, notwithstanding, John from Post and Skill. The discussion about the Keystone XL pipeline, it's already been built. The vote was about the extension saving 1,000 miles in pipeline distance. I don't support any of this. But this was all political theater, and the media is being very deceptive by not pointing out that the pipeline itself already exists. Bob in Newburgh. There you go.
Okay.
All right. We welcome your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us talk about Nancy Pelosi. She is back. They have the House Democrats have reelected Nancy Pelosi as their leader. I don't think there was much question about that, but is it a good way to go?
Well, let me start by saying I'm not a Nancy Pelosi fan. That's the first thing. I think that the Republicans have seized on the fact that a lot of Americans aren't, and use her as basically the boogeyman. And in order to raise money, there isn't a day you don't get something about Nancy Pelosi, you know, online. However, I've talked to many people on Congressional Corner, many Democrats, and I have to tell you, they love her. They just love her. She's an effective spokesman for them, they think, and they really think she represents their interests. And that's what a leader is all about.
I want my granddaughter to grow up to be Nancy Pelosi. I think she's an awesome woman, strong, powerful, principled. She's been an amazing leader at difficult times. And how Obama gets all our sympathy because he has to deal with recalcitrance and not her, don't get. I think it's sexism.
Sexism? Oh, you mean...
she doesn't get the credit. She gets the blame.
Oh, you mean if somebody is not an effective symbolic leader of a party, the first thing that Rosemary is going to tell us, and I don't want to put words in your mouth,
Rosemary, because that's not at all what I said. But
well, then
ahead.
What did you say? I mean, you know, the minute anybody has an objection to Nancy Pelosi, they're sexist.
I made a very intelligent comparison between how she's treated and how Obama is treated. They both are dealing with the same recalcitrant Republican minority,
it's the
majority.
Same headset. We don't want women in power. We don't
Correct.
Want blacks in power.
Correct.
Period. End of story. We just want white men in power with money.
Okay.
Who are
so,
related to
so
the Koch brothers.
So there could never be, let me just get this straight because I want to make sure I got this right. There can never be a critical remark about her leadership style or the fact that she's this way because the minute somebody opens their mouth, it's part of the white establishment not wanting a woman in power. Is that what it is?
I'm not responding to that.
Well, I don't blame you.
Mm. No, I'm not talking about an educated, reasoned, well thought out criticism of somebody's leadership style or even their politics. But
that's not what we get.
This is just knee jerk. We have a target. let's go after him, her Karl Rovian type politics, where they make her the, as you said, the boogeyman, but they make her the punching bag for all of liberal America.
Just as they did with Hillary Clinton.
Right, just as, they
just
did
as
with,
they do did, with a black
anybody.
Man,
right.
Barack
and I'm saying,
Obama.
Right.
And when, and
Alan,
when
I said both sex and race.
And when, yes, you did. And when Rosemary gets on these microphones and day after day pummels Obama for something or other, then we have to assume that she's a racist, which we know she's not.
Okay, that's just one of those arguments that goes to the point of ridiculousness. So I'm
when you can't
that.
Answer the substance,
I think that
you,
the attacks on Nancy Pelosi are beyond the pale. They have nothing to do with how she operates or how successful or effective that she is. And I don't see why she has not gotten more sympathy from liberal voters in the same way that many of us, although not me, gives Obama a break.
That's funny because that's exactly the way I feel about attacks on Obama. You know, which is that here is the first black president of the United States. I don't think there's any question that he has gotten more than his share. First, it was Africa and you know, the birthers and all
right.
the rest of them.
Kenya.
And now, you know, I think we have to be very careful about doing this kind of thing.
To me, the difference is that Obama knew what he was getting into or should have.
Well,
yes, he was the first.
She knows what she's getting into.
I do. I do think she also has agreed to be the fall guy for Obama, and she's taken a lot of criticism for that. But her points, her good points, do not get touted in the same way, except by in her own group. They just voted her back in.
Yeah, but
they
the
do
same
not
thing
get touted
said-
on here. Alan just began this by saying, I'm not a fan of Nancy's.
I'm not.
Tell me five reasons why.
Well, I'll give you one reason, and that is she lost the House. And when other people have lost the House, out they go. The same thing has happened again and again and again. So
well, Steve Israel is out as chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Well, by the way, I think that's because he wanted to get out. It was just too much for him.
Who would?
Yeah. But she said in the paper, she said, listen, I'm staying until we win it back. Well, okay. I think people who are in leadership spots, were the Republicans going to nominate Herbert Hoover one more time? You know, after, you know.
Right. And the other part of this is that the Democrats need to have a united front going into next year's legislative session, and they don't need the disarray of choosing new party leadership or new House leadership and, you know, not knowing who's on first and what's on second. So. And, you know, people like Steny Hoyer, you know, stood firm behind her.
Saw the handwriting on the wall.
Right. I mean, not that many people voted against her. But I think really it's about having a united front.
According to the reports, no one voted against her, except there was one guy who ran against her on the platform of Get Rid of Her, and it was a woman.
Gwen Graham.
She put out the word that she had, in fact, muttered something about no, but nobody heard her because it was
because she was drowned out by the other people voting.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to letters. And we'll get to other topics as well. Roundtable, WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from the Clark Art Institute, Williamstown, Massachusetts, presenting the exhibition Monet Kelly, opening Sunday, clarkart.edu. Marshall & Sterling, insurance for business, home, auto, bonds, group benefits, and financial planning for 150 years. Our people are your best insurance. Offices in New Windsor, Middletown, Kingston, and Monticello, marshallsterling.com. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Let us go to the letters.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Scott says, your comments on Professor Gruber of MIT and his characterization of the American public, please.
I think we talked about
We talked about him on Monday, didn't
yeah.
we?
Can you get former programs online?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can go just back to WMC.org. Anthony says, people only want rich white men in power. Where does credibility come from after that, Anthony? And Kevin says, we did that. And Lester says, didn't the Senate pass a bill and the House is not just not voting on it? Lester. No, it's the House passed the bill, and the Senate had to take it up, I think. Am I right about that, gang, or does anybody know anything? Irene.
About what? What are we talking about?
On the pipeline.
The House passed it.
Yeah, the House passed it.
Several times, went to the Senate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Senate took it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we got it. Irene says, what will Governor Cuomo do for New York State? His family could be instrumental in helping legislation pass. Their use in the commercial to keep women safe should be continued. Cuomo is the best governor. He is here, unlike Chris Christie, who seems never to be in New Jersey and seems to be floundering. The New York State Republican Senate 2015 will be on precarious ground. Let's see here. This I don't know if it has anything to do with anything. Robert says, Miss Armeo rules on this one, on the pipeline. As an insightful friend pointed out over the weekend, it's all a game. Talk up a hot issue, take in the dollars from those in favor and opposed, and then find a way to skirt the decision so the whole cycle can start again. Interesting. XL will come up in the next Senate. Another example is a single-payer health care in New York State, which has been talked up and spent about 20 years, quote, in committee. And then there's our perplexed head scratching over Obama until we actually voted for the idea of Obama. Sanders or Warren for president? And Maxine says, I think one thing that has not been discussed much is the quality of the workmanship. As it happens, the CBC program had interviewed an engineer who does this type of work. He said the cement quality was very poor and that the rebar hadn't been installed properly. This pipeline wouldn't bother me as much if I was sure it was built with quality. And Paul says, 3 billion gallons of waste frack water have been injected into central California aquifers. This story broke in October. Where's the coverage? Are people drinking polluted water, well water? Does the arsenic, thallium, et cetera, affect crops in this drought-stricken agricultural area? Has drinking water farming been permanently ruined? What's the frack? And like that, that's what I got.
All right.
They handed me these?
Yeah.
Want these?
Go ahead.
All right. Gene, why are you fighting the pipeline at the same time worried about the trains? The oil is coming one way or another, and the pipeline is far safer than the trains. As far as terrorist threats, everything is vulnerable. Nothing works perfectly, and accidents are always possible. The environmental strategy is to hinder shipments and thereby make it unprofitable. Not happening. It's either coming by train or by pipe. Sure, the job issue is rhetoric. 50 permanent jobs, and the oil is going to China. But as I said, one way or another, it's going to happen. So why not use the safest method? Save your efforts for winnable battles. And Bob says, the discussion about the Keystone XL pipeline has already been built. Oh, we did this. We actually read this one. And we read this one, too.
Yes.
Thank you very much, all.
All right. Let's go to another issue. That is the hostage policy. The Obama administration confirmed on Tuesday that it was reviewing its policy on securing the release of U.S. citizens taken hostage abroad, but that the ban on paying ransom would not change. Word of the review disclosed by an undersecretary of defense in a letter to a Republican lawmaker came as the administration was grappling with a series of beheadings of American captives by the Islamic State militant group, which posted a video Sunday announcing the third such killing. Some family members of hostages have criticized what they see as an unacceptable refusal by the administration to grant concessions, including ransom payments to hostage takers. And I was just struck by that third paragraph because you can just imagine a family saying, okay,
sure.
Well, what?
Get my kid back.
Do whatever you can do to get my kid back.
Sure.
Right. So is it a policy, do you think, that needs review?
Well, I don't have much to say on this except that the argument against is pretty powerful. You do it, and then it becomes a full-time business, as mm-hmm. it did in Colombia, you may all remember. Mm-hmm. Where somebody was being kidnapped every 2 seconds. On the other hand, if I'm a parent and it's my boy or my daughter, and they're involved in this. As I once said to my son, he said, listen, he wanted to go to Columbia. And I said, you know, it's not about you. And he said to me, Dad, it's not about you. And I said, would you expect me to give up every penny I have to get you back? He said, of course. I said, it's about me.
I hope that this means it's just under review, and that means you look at it and you can decide then to leave it in place. That seems a compassionate thing to do in light of the beheadings and the horror of families going through that sort of just waiting for this to happen, knowing that the government won't even talk to the other side. So I think it's good to review it. But as Alan says, I don't know how you justify changing the policy. Europeans pay this money. They have had varied success actually getting people back by paying money, and they pay in money to people who do horrible things with the money. Don't do it.
And they're not going to stop kidnapping people.
Right. I mean, this isn't an incentive to kidnap more.
Right. Yeah. Right. They're going to keep doing it because they know the governments are going to pay. They're already making, you know, close to $3 million a day illegally selling oil.
You know,
they're one of the best funded, well-organized terrorist governments in the world.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary, you put yourself into danger all the time. You go to places where you train journalists and you...
Dangerous places in the world, like Studio A.
Yeah. But do you ever think, Rosemary, about the possibility that somebody could grab you?
Yeah, we have all of us who work in our organization have thought about it, and the founder has sent a note saying, here's what happens if they get me. My family has instructions to find one young reporter and tell everything. Don't hold back anything. Don't talk about privacy. Talk and know that this is the way I want to go. No, I don't think my government should protect me in that way, by offering to pay or to give up something. I feel the same way, really, about troops, too. If you sign up for the military, you're making a sacrifice. We hear about the sacrifice they make. And that means you don't get treated like an individual who has gotten into trouble. You're part of a unit who puts yourself in trouble's way.
Now, the Israelis, as you know, will do anything to get people back. They've traded, you know, 100 soldiers for one that has been captured. So do they follow a different game plan?
Oh, I think they follow the Torah is what they're following. They're following the commandments of saving one person saves the world is where they're coming from. You know, the only time you don't try to save somebody else is if it endangers your own life.
Well, the people that they're giving up quite frequently are terrorists who've killed a lot of people.
Right. I get it. But they, you know, the Israelis want their people back. And
that's why it's always good to separate religion from government.
Yes, well.
The Muslims have this problem, too. You know, they try to get, we have to rule the way God wants to. It doesn't work for great governance. The American system here gets my vote.
Well, it's not, but the American system here, I mean, with the Republicans taking the Senate and having the House, radical Christian right politics is ruling the country. We're going to see a real attack on women's reproductive rights.
Oh, Libby, I'm totally with you on this one. I mean, religion does not belong in any government.
No,
you are
it doesn't
right.
at all.
You are right.
But in Israel, it's not necessarily that it's the religion thing. It's more about this is who we are as a people, and this is what we believe. This is our culture. This is what we believe.
Well, couldn't you apply that to these people who are slicing people's heads off? The same rationale.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. They're fighting a holy war.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, these
religion and politics, horrible mix.
Right.
We are
are we?
No.
Are we now?
What?
Are we now?
What?
Out of time?
Yeah.
Well.
Why are you?
Because we were having so much fun.
Yeah. Well, we have a minute. I never got Rosemary, we never got your take on the Bill Cosby thing.
Oh my goodness. I'm listening to some conservatives who think that he's only in trouble now because he did this supposedly years ago or over years because he's called for black people to have more responsibility, stand up for yourself, right. Don't pull your pants up and, you know, don't talk in black English and all that. So we liberals are after him. I think that's baloney.
Yeah.
I think that powerful men have been hitting on women and getting away with this stuff for a long time. And I'm glad it's coming out. I'd like the whole story. I think like Woody Allen, he has the right to give his side of it, but I want to hear it, and we're not hearing it so far.
Anybody want to?
Not okay. funny at all, Bill.
No, and I bring it up because Netflix just announced this morning that they are postponing, if not canceling, the concert that they were going to air.
I think that's great that there's pressure on to not see this as acceptable anymore. It's like it's like Packwood. For years, politicians, you know, hit on women and it was okay, and suddenly he was the one. And Bill Cosby's a big name,
and we need
to know what happened.
The big question, it was an NPR interview that they did with him over the weekend with Scott Simon. Well, he didn't say anything.
Right.
And the question is why don't you give, like, why didn't he just give the standard line, which is those are old charges. Basically, what his lawyer did 2 days later: those are old charges. We've defended them. We're moving on.
I mean, there were a lot of women who agreed in that a lawsuit that was settled to talk.
Like ten to twenty.
It feels like Schwarzenegger. It feels like that.
Oh,
you know, the last thing I want is a lot of mail. But there is still jurisprudence in this country. There is still innocent until proven guilty.
And we haven't taken away his freedom. We're just hurting him economically.
Well,
pressure on Netflix and other specials
to
pull back.
Fair enough. But based on what? I mean, in other words, Woody Allen, you mentioned before, a lot of people won't go to see a Woody film because you know, they don't like
what he did to his granddaughter, his stepchild,
rather. What he's been accused of. But, you know, it gets iffy. Has anybody in this audience ever heard of somebody being unfairly accused?
Well, Woody Allen was fairly accused, I think, right? I mean, he did do what – that was more of an
ick thing. Well, which is why I just said, illegal thing.
Which is why I just said people
Well, sure they have, but this – we also have heard of a court system that doesn't handle certain kind of cases. And
yes,
charges
true.
Of by women against powerful men are in that category.
Note to host, don't bring up a huge issue in the last minute of a show. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Or do bring it up, or don't bring it up, or up or down. Or anything. What can I tell you?
Yeah, well, we're out. Yeah, we're the British are going to be mad at us. We'll be back.